John Batchelor, Scott Iman. The book is Charlie Chaplin versus America, When Art, Sex, and Politics Collided. Charlie's a great success with the great dictator. He makes a speech. Joseph Davies, the ambassador to the Soviet Union, cannot attend an event in San Francisco during the Second War. And Second Front is the big story. Stalin wants a Second Front open. Eventually it will be. That's Normandy, 1944. But the push for the Second Front was widespread. The Soviets at this point are counterattacking. The Germans are hard-pressed. The U.S. is keeping the Soviets in the field with Lend-Lease. But Charlie's asked to step in for Joseph Davies in San Francisco and makes a Charlie Chaplin speech, all for the Second Front. That incident will become important because of what is about to happen to Charlie with his libertarian, libertine understanding of the world. A young woman named Joan Barry, that's her one of her pseudonyms, comes crashing at his door one Christmas. I believe it's 41, Scott. I get lost here.
1942.
And she has a pistol. Who is Joan Barry?
Joan Barry had been the mistress of J. Paul Getty in Oklahoma. She thought it would be fun to be in the movies. She got a letter of introduction that she could use. Generally, she traveled to California, met a number of movie people, including Chaplin. One thing led to another. His relationship with Paula Goddard was over. They had broken up. He was between pictures at this point. The Great Dictator had been a huge hit. And as Chaplin would note, he was only vulnerable to, shall we say, recreational sex when he wasn't working. When he was working, it was 24/7, and he was all in on the project. And he really was a nose to the grindstone guy, to continue with the cliches. And he wasn't really interested in women or girls. Between pictures, when he had no project, that was when his attention would wander. And he was between pictures at this point. And he met Barry at a Hollywood restaurant. They had dinner together. One thing led to another, and they became a couple. It lasted about a year, start to finish. They would break up. She began to show signs of emotional distress. She would go away, then come back to California, back to his house, go away, come back. Finally, she left to go back to Oklahoma to see Getty. She came back sometime later, Christmas 1942, and announced she was pregnant. And Chaplin was the father. Chaplin did the math and realized he could not possibly be the father. He also refused to settle.
Why did she have a pistol that night?
That came a little bit later. A month or so later, they went back and forth for a while. She was growing increasingly irrational. And 2 days before Christmas in 1942, she showed up at Chaplin's house, broke a window, let herself in the house. And they held him at gunpoint, and it was a really, really bizarre episode that even in Chaplin's telling, juxtaposed with her telling, seems to be completely 90 miles an hour around hairpin curves. It's hard to imagine that he would possibly put himself in a position with a woman wielding a gun.
December 23rd, 1942. That's the date.
Yes, yes, yes. He refused to settle. She went ahead of Hopper and told Hopper that she was pregnant and that Chaplin was the father. Hopper went to other gossip columnists, gave them the news. The FBI found out, and the FBI sailed into the case as well. Chaplin, a few months later, Chaplin was indicted under the Mann Act. The Mann Act was a kind of obsolete law that had been passed around the turn of the century, preventing men from transporting women across state lines for immoral purposes. It was meant to stamp out prostitution. But they prosecuted him on the Mann Act for transporting her across state lines, because at one point, when he'd gone to New York to deliver a speech about the Second Front, she had followed him, and they'd been staying in the same hotel. And they prosecute him on the Mann Act because of that. He was acquitted of the Mann Act after the jury deliberated for an hour. Then came the paternity suit. by this time, the hue and cry amongst the columnists was in full flower. A week didn't go by where Hopper or Ed Sullivan or Westbrook Pegler weren't writing anti-Chaplin stories, basically branding him a roué, a libertine, dangerous to the moral ecology of America, you name it. He willingly took a blood test. The blood test proved he was not the father of the child who had been born in the intervening months before the paternity suit went to trial. The blood test proved he was not the father, and the jury found against him anyway. At this point in California, a blood test was not dispositive. The jury could overrule the blood results of the blood test if they so believed, which is what they did. Okay. Chaplin appealed. His appeal was denied. So for the next 18 years, he had to pay a support for a child that wasn't his.
And Joan Barry goes on to have a very sad life, dying quietly in 2007, having married and had two additional children to Carol Ann. At some point, she writes a letter, I believe in the early 1950s, writes a letter to Charlie Chaplin's attorney saying, Carol Ann, the child, is not Charlie Chaplin. She tried to make it right, but it was too late.
She backtracked. She completely backtracked. Said basically that the FBI had fomented the paternity suit and nudged her into prosecuting Chaplin. Whether that's true or not, there's no way of telling because she was so unstable. She spent 10 years in a California mental institution in the 1950s, between in the late 1940s into the 50s. So there's no telling whether she was lying then,
right,
or whether she was lying later. You know, she was lying at one of those points, but we don't know which. But basically later on, she blamed the FBI for fomenting the case.
Well, that's
which,
easy to
considering
do.
What came later might very well have been the case.
Yeah,
we're ready
to join in that blame. Scott Eyman is the author of Charlie Chaplin versus America, When Art, Sex, and Politics Collided. Here comes a movie flop, and the FBI and the U.S. attorney and the 1950s McCarthyite fantasy. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,